Wow.
So I'm going to talk about discipleship this morning, and it's just going to be about walking with Jesus, being a student for Jesus. So I'm going to read probably about five chapters from the Bible. I'll be looking at my phone a bit, so my notes. So here we go. Okay. So, first of all, I'm going to read about from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is the greatest. This letter is from Paul to the church of Corinth. And I'll read 1 Corinthians 13 now. And I'll just obviously relate that on how that becomes or being a disciple for Jesus Christ. Okay. Then I'll just go a bit further on in regards to Mark and then. Then I'll go from Mark to Romans, and then go from there. Okay, just bear with me. Okay, so this basically says about love being the greatest. So I'll read from chapter, or I'll read the whole chapter because it is very important, this particular chapter. So first, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love, I would be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever, but prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will all disappear. Now we know only a little, and even the gift of prophecy reveals little. But when the end comes, these special gifts will all disappear. It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But I will know everything completely just as God knows me now. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greater of these is love. Okay. So, I just felt that was really important. That's why I wanted to start with that, because for me, being a disciple is love. Loving other people, loving your enemies, just going out on the street, smiling at somebody, giving way to somebody in your car, for example. But although they are very, very small things that could brighten up someone else's day, because you don't know what they're going through in that day. So I think that's just very, very important now. Okay. So in verses 2 and 3, it talks about if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future, and knew everything about everything, but didn't know others, what good I would be. And in verse 3, if I had the gift of faith so that I could move mountains without love, Paul says we wouldn't be any good to anyone. This goes to show how powerful love is. Okay. I think we can beat ourselves up sometimes because we want to do the big things straight away, like, you know, getting lots of people into church. We get disappointed sometimes when those things don't happen. We blame God. We want the big things, you know. I don't have all those answers. I don't know why sometimes the big things don't happen. I think Jesus, is obviously an equal God. So what I know, but I don't have all the answers, but what I do know is that just learn to trust God and keep walking. The Christian life is a journey. What I find so amazing is that there was no end to God's love. So for me, in terms of, you know, me walking with Jesus, being a disciple for Jesus, the reason why I want to do that, the reason why I really want to get into Jesus is because his love never ends. Yeah. When I love football, okay, my team did really well yesterday. But that happiness that I experienced yesterday isn't there today. The only thing that gives contentment is Jesus Christ. So, although my team won yesterday, that same happiness that I felt yesterday at 4:30 p.m. I think it was, I can't remember, is not here right now. And the only thing that could bring contentment is Jesus Christ. And that's why I always want to go deeper and deeper and deeper into Jesus, because I know that he is the only person that brings contentment. So that's all about being a disciple of Jesus as well. Okay. So I'm going to read Mark 3, verse 13 to 19, about Jesus choosing the 12 disciples. Just going to find it there. Jesus chooses 12 apostles. Sorry. Afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. Then he selected 12 of them to be his regular companions, calling them apostles. He sent them out to preach, and he gave them authority to cast out demons. These are the names of the 12 he chose. Simon, he renamed him Peter. James and John, he the sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them a son of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. The reason why I wanted to do that is because, obviously, Simon, Andrew, James, John were all fishermen, Matthew was a tax collector. So it's so interesting that Jesus chose these types of people. Because fishermen would have been fearless, they would have had rugged clothes, they would have got their hands dirty. Obviously, James and John were sons of thunder, so they've had anger issues in that aspect. They would have been in your face, other people, James and John again. So Matthew was a tax collector as well. So people didn't like tax collectors. So I just found it very interesting that Jesus chose the types of people to follow him. He didn't go with the people that were easier than him. He wanted the people that were different and difficult to get on with, and those were the top people that went with him. So he didn't go with, you know, easy people, people to get on with, people that were friendly and nice type of people. He went right down in the depth, and he chose those people. I just felt that was very interesting, and I wanted to share that with you as well. Now, the way Jesus sees it is that it's all about your heart, and not about, as the world puts it, your appearance. How big you are, how intelligent you are. Now, all God calls you to do is your best. And he looks at the effort you're putting in, not the performance. So if you're struggling with an addiction or a situation that you feel find tough or difficult, Jesus will help you. All you need to do is ask him. If it's drugs or alcohol, for example, and the reason why you're doing that is because you don't feel loved or you're depressed, Jesus is the person to go to for that, because he is the only person that can give contentment. Nothing else can, like I said earlier. Okay. I just lost where I am. Now, obviously, you can go to Step and go to Ken if you any issues. Well, of course you can. Yeah, that's not a problem there at all. They will do their best to help you. But Jesus is the only person that can give contentment. So being a disciple in this aspect is giving up yourself and following Jesus. Okay. I'm going to read Romans 12, verse 2 now. Just bear with me. Okay, Romans 12, verse 2. All right. Don't copy the behaviour and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Now, it's not easy following the way of Jesus in this world, especially if you're at work or at school, because no one wants to be the odd one out. Obviously I'm in a sales environment. It's not a great Christian environment. myself, obviously, they know that I'm different. I choose to do that because I want to follow Jesus. I don't swear, I don't tell jokes that aren't pleasant, for example. I have to be careful not to go on, in terms of like being too friendly with them, because I don't want, if I go on a night out, for example, that could lead to other things. So I always have to be alert and know when to say no. So that's basically in verse 2 where it says about not copying the behaviour and the custom of this world. Every morning I always put on the armour of God, so I never know what that day might bring. So that's all about being a disciple for Jesus. So when to say no, when you're in difficult situations, especially I can be sometimes, when you have friends who get drunk pretty much every weekend and stuff. They know that I'm different. They know that I'm a Christian. Which is probably why I'm there, I guess. Because those people need Jesus. But it's all about saying no. It's all about being a disciple for Jesus Christ. So, can I just read about Ephesians 5 now, verse 1 to 4. Okay. So, follow God's example in everything you do. Okay. Because you are His dear children, live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave Himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like sweet perfume to Him. Let there be no sexual impurity or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Okay. So basically, living in the light. That's all about being a disciple. Okay. Verse 2, it says about living a life filled with love for others. Okay. Now, just bear with me. It's always difficult living the Christian life. Okay. But the way I see it is that the world doesn't give contentment, like I said earlier. I know I keep coming back to that point, but I feel that's a very, very important point. Because so many people want money, they want the bigger house, they want the bigger car. And I just feel that it's just, when I head home on that point, because Jesus being contentment, because in my aspect, that's really important. The amount of times that people want more and more and more and more, they think they want more, but actually when they get more, they want more, even more than that. And it's never ever they never reach that level where they're contented. So that's why I really want to hit home on that point, because I thought that's a very important point. Okay, so I'm going to go into Matthew 28, verse 16-20 now, the Great Commission. Okay, we're going to go after this particular chapter. I really love this chapter because it's very powerful. Just bear with me. It's always funny when you're trying to find a chapter and there's a silence in the room. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Okay. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them still doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Okay. Our job as Christians is to tell everyone about Jesus, and sometimes that isn't an easy thing. Before I go to work, I always ask to receive God's peace and love. Like I said earlier, sales is not an easy environment to be in. Okay, but the thing is, just being different and making a friend with somebody can make all the difference. You know, I haven't actually yet told someone else in my work environment about Jesus Christ, but they know that I'm different. They know that I'm a happy person. So at the moment, I feel that that's what Jesus wants me to do for now. But they know that I'm different. I'm not telling about Jesus, but they know that I'm different. So they see that I'm happy. So I don't want to sort of scare them off if I keep talking. You know, if I talk about Jesus. Now it says in 1 Peter 4 verse 12, "Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through. Instead, be very glad, because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering." So, this world is not easy to live in, I know that. And I know that people get anxiety, have depression, take obviously drinks, things like that, all those sort of things, you know. Just tell God your problems. You know, it's not easy being a Christian in this life. I know it's not easy being a Christian in this life, but just tell God your problems. I do it all the time. You know, if I have anxiety, if I'm nervous, whatever it is, just tell God. You know, because he knows what you're thinking before you even think it. Just tell him. Just tell him what you feel, even if you're angry, even if you're upset. Whatever it is, just tell him, because he's your father. You know, he wants you to do the best you can do for Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, I think you need to tell him what you feel. And then ask him to help you. In whatever way it is, ask him to help you deal with that issue, that problem, whatever it might be. It could be drugs, could be drink. I'm not saying people do it here, but I'm just saying in general. You know, if you're going through a problem, or you're finding it difficult, or you're going through a family situation, you know, just let it out. Just let it out. And the thing is that in my past, the situation might not change, but the way you feel about the situation can change. Now, I've done it myself, because with my medical condition, back when I was 18 months old, my mates were going to university, my mates were having fantastic grades, degrees, gave great jobs. I didn't do any of that, because I couldn't do it. I was angry at God. Why the heck are those people out there doing, and I do the top universities in England, and I'm not there? I'm not there. I'm not doing it. What's going on? I don't know why that is, but what I do know is that pain and that anger has left because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that is down to Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying is, whatever problems you have, whatever issues you have, give it to him. The situation might not change, but the way you feel by the situation can change. Amen. Now, just seeing what else Jesus puts on my heart. Okay. Keep the armour of God on every morning. I mean, I know I do put the armour of God on every morning, and I just find it very important to do that. because you just don't know what that day might bring. Receive God's amazing power. You know, every day receive it. Receive, 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 receive. And then give it out. That love. You know, whenever I go into work, people are amazed that I'm always happy in myself because I phone out my customers, existing O2, and phone out customers every day for 8 hours a day. And yet I come in every morning and I'm happy. I'm happy, I'm happy, and I'm happy because of the love of Jesus Christ. That's why. That's why. And that's a sign to tell other people that, hey, Jesus is alive. So, put on the arm of God, receive God's power, and you cannot go wrong. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.